My name is Miranda. Thank you for joining us today on our weekly ride to the in-between. And we are going to kick it off strong today with a personal story from me, and then a sort of three-part story from a friend of the show who has submitted questions and other things to us before. And then I am going to break in with you guys a new tarot deck that I got for Christmas as part of our witchy tip for this week and see where it goes. So, my story this week is one that happened about 3.5 years ago. And when I was pregnant, I had a real rough time. I won't go into all of the details, but suffice to say, health-wise, it was a living nightmare for me. My little one was fine the whole time, came out happy and healthy and had no issues, and I have often said if I had to suffer all of that in trade for her good health, I would do it again for her in a heartbeat. That being said, physical issues weren't the only ones that I had. As a medium who never wanted to be a medium, I have spent a very large portion of my life trying not to see, hear, or dream about and avoid being noticed by the dead and other incorporeal interested parties. I've seen shadow people, land spirits, protective spirits, fae of all variety, and more dead people than you can shake a stick at. While nowadays I'm better prepared and less knee-jerk panicky about it for various reasons and experiences, that desire to shut it out for so long has dampened my abilities to an extent. It's not what it once was, it may never be again, but neither did it ever fully go away. On rare occasions, it broadsides me, but I've honestly sort of become accustomed to a certain level of mild awareness. There will be times when certain things happen that I'm like, oh, okay, I see what's happening here. But it's not as distracting or disoriented, or it doesn't pull me out of the here and now like it did once upon a time. All of that being what it is. Additionally, they always say that you can see more things of the spirit world when you're in between. That's why you shouldn't linger in doorways. Graveyards are sometimes considered an in-between because there are the dead there, but there are also the living there, things like that. Alleyways are in-betweens. It's believed that through folklore and a certain amount of personal experience on my part, that in-betweens will heighten the senses of someone who sees to the other side anyway. And, you know, that being what it is, pregnancy is a liminal state for an extended period of time. I'm sure you've heard the saying, cats see both worlds and constantly live in between. Well, it's believed that cats live in a constant liminal state. Pregnancy makes you a cat. No, I'm kidding. But it effectively means that you are not unlike the state in which people believe cats live. You're no longer the maiden, but you're not yet the mother. You know, you're not childless, but you're not yet really a parent. There's lots of transitions and changes happening in your life, in your surroundings, in your environment, in your body, and you're nurturing a life inside you that is taking all of your energy, nutrients. There's a lot happening that puts you in a state of in-between for a while. So I discovered that during my pregnancy, it opened me up again, like it had been when I was a child. Dreams of strangers' deaths, usually as the person dying or at least witnessing it. One of them was someone passing away surrounded by family on a bed. It was an older man, and a few of the family that were there, they loved dearly, very deeply, and they didn't want to leave them. Some of them, they hated. And I'm not entirely sure why those people were there. The hate was so real. And it was not something that was going to be necessarily forgiven with the death kind of thing. That was going with them to the grave. There was another one. There was a man killed by a hate crime from some time ago, but not as long as one would like to think type of deal. And this was alongside all the weird, like, prego dreams that you get with pregnant brain. And it was almost like they were more vivid. They always felt different. But I could tell what was the weird chemical, like, brain dreams and stuff like that, and what was not my mind. I am at least aware enough now that even when being overwhelmed by these things, there was a very clear sort of, this was not my dream. This was not my mind. I was being shown this. And they didn't happen constantly, but they happened way more frequently during my pregnancy than they have since, and since they had in the few years leading up to it. And by a few years, I mean over a decade, to be perfectly honest. But there was one in specific that lasted longer than the rest. Like, I'd get the dream of the old man dying happened, I think, once or twice. And the young man who was killed by a hate crime, I think he happened 2, maybe 3 times. But there was this one young woman who hung around my house for a few months. It was a long time in compare to what I usually see. And I was down on energy. I was so tired constantly. In the first trimester, I lost weight because I was, you know, giving everything to my little one, and I needed to readjust my eating and water drinking habits and all of that stuff. And I didn't gain much weight during the pregnancy. I was constantly exhausted, constantly having to, like, have a snack or something to keep blood sugar at the right level, drinking gallons of water. And it was in everyday life with that on top of it, it was exhausting. I do a lot anyway. I am a person who does not stop very often. I am constantly doing something, and I had to learn how to stop because I did not have the energy to live my life and grow a human inside of me. So the fact that this one particular spirit was around and pushy for a number of months was both very clear, very vivid, and stood out. You know, she projected her story to me as often as she could muster. Her story, her vision, the thing that I saw when I was falling asleep, the thing that I saw whenever I concentrated on her, which didn't happen until kind of far into it, to be perfectly honest, because I tried. When the young man who died of a hate crime came to me, he didn't really have a purpose. He just was around and wanted to share his story. There was no like, oh, tell my family or anything like that. He gave me the impression that he couldn't be at peace because it happened, but there was nothing that could be undone about it. But, like, his family knew, and there was arrests and all this stuff. So he was just wanting to tell someone else the story because he hadn't been heard or seen in a while. And I was like, that's fair. That's fine. I need to sleep. I'm so sorry. I don't have the energy to do more for you. He was polite about it and left. I'm pretty sure I only saw the old man's scene, like, once or twice. And there were a couple of others that I was basically like, I'm happy to hear and see you so that you can be heard and seen for the first time in however long, but I can't do anything right now. I don't have enough energy for myself, and my priority is the life that's inside of me right now. And most of them were like, okay, well, I'll check back later kind of energy. Nobody actually said that. Or they were just like, whatever, and moved on to wherever else they were going. This one, however, did not. And she would project her story as often as she could, and her story that I saw when I would fall asleep, when I focused on her, anything like that, she struggled and she drowned and believed that she had been murdered. I could not see enough of the vision to know if it was an accident or if she was held down or somebody murdered her. She had dark hair, and she was either in in an old, like, an old-timey nightgown or an oversized t-shirt, but it was hard to tell. She was dripping wet and blue and in what I have heard many mediums and psychics refer to as her death state. That, hence the dripping wet and blue. She had not moved on from her death state. She had not, like, restored herself or anything like that. She looked like she did when she died. So, or when she was found or something. And man, she was angry. Which, legit, if you believe you've been murdered, like, yeah. The problem here was that she wasn't terribly strong beyond that. She was deteriorated as a spirit. She couldn't get in my house. She tried, but beach, this a witch's house, and we sealed those leaks a while back. It wasn't just that she wasn't strong enough to get through my wards and my protections. It was that her projection wasn't terribly detailed. It wasn't terribly powerful outside of, like, her one message, her ability to project her last moments that she remembered, and her anger. And that anger was powerful, but it didn't give her enough oomph, as it were. Like I said, I'm not sure if it was an old nightgown or an oversized white shirt, because her projection wasn't terribly detailed. I think from her demeanor, it was likely older, late 19th, early 20th century, maybe. But again, the details were really, really fuzzy. And believe me, after the first 3 months of her arrival, I tried. Of all the entities that were pushy or demanding when I couldn't shut it off while I was pregnant, I finally got annoyed enough with her not taking the "this is not a good time" requests from me. And I was like, fine, we'll do this. I tried to focus on her, and she was always standing under the tree in my backyard, glaring up into my bedroom where she knew I was, night and day. And now if I came outside and I was in the front yard or the side yard, she would watch me. But it was from the same location under my tree. So, all she would say was, "You have to tell my family I was murdered." Okay, fine. So, one night I couldn't sleep. I was extra tired and she was being extra pushy. If I wasn't going to be getting sleep, I might as fucking well, right? So I pushed some energy to her because I had noticed that she was deteriorated sort of around the edges and stuff. Focusing best I could on restoring her, and bit the bullet and just asked, "Okay, what's your name?" Silence. I blinked. "What's your name?" I asked again, a little more gently, I suppose, because I was fed up and I was like, okay, maybe aggression is not how we should approach this. We'll go gentle. We'll be like, okay, what's your name? She paused and waited and did not seem to understand the question. Then she said to me, "You have to tell my family." And I was like, "You were murdered. Yes, I know. But in order to do that, I need to know your name so that I can find your family." She was quiet, frozen, as if her video was in pause. I narrowed my eyes, got out of bed, and actually looked out the window into my backyard, which I might add, I had actively been avoiding for my own sanity, and trying to drive the point home that I had other things, like my little one that required my energy right then, and she was being rude. But mostly she was a dark-haired girl in a nightgown who had drowned, and I was scarred emotionally and mentally by the movie The Ring. And so looking at her genuinely upset me on a very visceral level. So I had been avoiding this, and I stand up, it's 1 a.m, and I look out my window directly at her, and I'm like, look. But now, I was looking at her directly, and there she was, just standing there, still as a stone, under the tree and glaring up at me. "I was murdered. You have to..." And I interrupted. I was like, "I can't tell your family if I don't know who you are or who they are, honey. I need you to give me something." I sat there and I worked up a little energy between my hands. I sent it to her again. And I was really trying to restore her corpus because I was starting to pick up on what was happening here. The good news was that I was getting really damn tired. The obnoxiousness was not going to keep me up anymore, but now I was invested, so we kept going. To her credit, she tried. I watched her try to be more than a scrap of thin muslin in the wind of souls, basically. But she couldn't. She was too far gone. Be it the trauma that she had suffered, or the time it had been, or a combination of the two, there was barely anything left of this young woman. You have to. I slowly started to realize that what I was seeing was little better than a residual haunting, if it had ever been more. Tell my family. There is a big creek, little river near my house, and I realized somewhere along it was probably where she was killed, and that my liminal state was probably some crazy beacon to her that drew her to my house to try with a last effort to get her truth known, but that either leaving the place of her death or just the current of time had washed away anything other than the purpose, the goal, the last scrap of anger that demanded justice. That I was murdered. I started crying. Yes, Prego emotions probably made it ugly crying that... I mean, it was the ugly crying with associations like she was somebody's little girl once and all the mom, sister, daughter feels. But also because there was literally nothing that I could do for a soul that deserved justice and that I was actively trying to help. We looked at each other, and she said her line again, and I just nodded, and I said, I will try, honey. I don't know how I can, but I will try. I knew full well there was a good chance that her whole family was already dead if she was as old as I thought she was. I also saw that she didn't really understand what I was saying to her, but kind of maybe. And her barely sentient little recording played again, and I just cried harder. Apparently, I had said my oath to her out loud as it woke up my husband, and he came to see what I was doing standing at the window bawling my eyes out, and coerced me back to bed, promising that I was just having a weird pregnancy dream. He did not remember any of this in the morning. He still doesn't remember any of this. So, after that, she was there for a few days, but she either left, went back to wherever she had died, or faded when I wasn't home, because I never saw her disappear. She was just there, and then wasn't, and then was eventually just gone. I have looked. I continue to look. I have not found a drowning of a young woman between 17 and 23, between 5'3 and 5'7, with long dark hair past her shoulders in this area, between 1850 and today. Or at least 2016. I haven't made it to the library archives yet, but the internet doesn't seem to have anything, at least that I have found. Maybe I'm looking in the wrong place. You know, maybe she was killed here and found elsewhere. Maybe she was drowned elsewhere and floated to be found here. I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet, but I hope to. And when I do, I will look into her family. You know, maybe you guys can help me out. You can put your internet skills to the test. Because I plan to keep my word. Full on. And I don't know if I ever will be able to, but I know that I will continue to try. And that is my spooky story for the week. Our listener story for today comes from listener Ariana. And you guys may recognize her name from our questions and answers episode. And she has sent us what is just an incredibly personal story that I'm just going to dive right in and share with you guys. Ariana writes, so to start this out, I will be giving three stories. One is sad, one is heartwarming / heartbreaking, and one is horrifying. In that order. These will be longish, but I know that these moments will bring light to why the death of my mother hit me so hard. You have my deepest sympathies, darling. I adore my mother, and I cannot even imagine what that is like, and I don't want to anytime soon. So, long distance hugs and condolences, dear. Her first story. I had a vision of how and when my mother would die.
Oh.
I was 14 years old, and I had been having an anxiety-filled day with no reason for it. It was a warm summer day, and I remembered that it was summer because it was a few days after my birthday. I got into a fight with my mother that ended with me flinging myself onto my bed, crying like a true melodramatic teen girl. Hashtag mood. I feel that. I do not miss those days. I cried so hard and so long, I fell asleep with my face in the center of my bed in just a puddle of ick. When falling asleep, I felt like the darkness creeped in instead of just being a lights-out situation. In the dream, I was looking down at my mother in a bed. She didn't have her glasses on, and she looked gaunt. She looked scared and confused, and when she grabbed my hand, she said, "It's okay, baby. Always remember." I woke up screaming mommy to the point that my mom came running into my room horrified, thinking that I self-harmed so bad I was bleeding out. Go back to the part of me saying I'm a melodramatic teen. I believed my life was ending every day, so why not participate? Small rant. If anyone out there is listening, please know that it does get better, and no matter how you feel, you are loved by those around you. It will get better. Amen, girl. I second that. Never forget that you are loved. She came bursting into my room, grabbing me and sitting me up to look me over. She said, "Baby, you haven't called me mommy since you were 9 and you got hurt." I forgot about that dream for years. Interlude. My mother was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer 4 years ago. She had the surgery, she did the chemo, and her numbers went down to the point of remission. My mother died almost a month ago. The cancer metastasized in her lower intestines and stomach. Mother, by the books, did not die of cancer. She died of starvation and dehydration. She could not eat or drink anything because if she did, she would puke violently. My mother suffered for months, so when her shit doctor, out of spite, gave her a terminal diagnosis, my mother gave up. She went through a lot and she suffered for so long she was done. I don't and will never blame her. She was in pain. Her only regret was not seeing my son grow to be a man. That's all she said, ever said. I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional. Let me try that again. That's all she ever said was what she wanted, was to see him and my youngest nephew, Dresden, grow to get married and give her great-grandbabies. She passed at home. They told us we have 6 months. We had 4 weeks. The last day of coherency my mother had, she grabbed my hand and said, "It's okay, baby. Always remember I love you." I remembered that dream that day. She died 3 days later. My aunt was in town to be there to help my sister for 2 weeks, and she texted me to let me know that my mother passed in her sleep. I sat with my aunt and waited for the coroners to come. We wait 3 hours, and when they finally took her, I went home. Ooh. I am shook at the moment. Give me a second. You're right, that is very sad, but also bittersweet. Ooh. Okay, so, story 2, my son saying goodbye. I couldn't sleep. I laid in the bed sobbing for about an hour and realized that my husband had to be up in 4 hours to work, so I left the bed for the living room. I sat and talked to my coven, I don't know what I would do without them, and watched TikTok for hours on and off crying. TikTok can help cure most ills. Then all of a sudden, TikTok had this weird loading issue, and it was almost like the universe turned down the volume on everything else, but turned my son's volume on high. Through the wall, I heard my son in his sleep saying, "Oh God, it's okay, Nana. I love you too. Goodbye." I cried for a few more hours and then finally, too tired to keep my eyes open, I went to bed about 30 minutes before my son and husband had to be up to start their days. I am officially crying now. It's about to be ugly crying. Story 3. One of my many worst nightmares of my mother. When I finally fell asleep from complete exhaustion, I came to in my mother's living room. I thought it was a good dream. I was lucid. I realized it was my brain replaying the last moments I had ever seen my mother. Even though she was dead, in this dream, it was weird, though in my peripheral vision of my right eye, I saw my sister and my aunt smiling in that creepy smile form. Oh, creepy smile from many horror movies. Oh, goosebumps. Then, almost hiding in the dark of the hallway, was my two nephews with that same smile. In the peripheral vision of my left eye, I saw the Christmas tree. Christmas was my mother's favorite holiday, so she wanted her tree up until she passed. I was staring at my mother, crying with my whole heart. My mother sat up and the true horror began. She creaked and groaned, not like those unrealistic celery snapping the way they do in horror movies, but like an arthritic body laying down for weeks, which is what happened. She turned her head to me and violently pulled the blankets from her legs and swung them over way too quick for her depleted body to move. She stood firmly, which she hasn't done in years, never taking her eyes off my eyes. She began to berate me, saying things like, "You never were good enough for me. I was never proud of you. You were the worst daughter that I needed you most. You were working. You let me die." While she was saying this, she was walking towards me. Every point she made, everyone else nodded their heads like they agreed with what she was saying. I kept pressing my back harder and harder to the couch, trying to get away from her words and her glare, but I couldn't get my legs to move. She bent down and made eye contact with me and said, "Always remember." My husband woke me up by kissing my cheek, like how he normally does, but I sat up trying to get my half-asleep body to run. My husband, in his true strength, stopped my forward motion and pulled me to his chest. He has woken me from many night terrors and saw what was happening and trying to get me to realize I was in the here and now and not in the terror. Oh, wow. I will give the 6 other nightmares on a later date, but these are the stories of seeing my mother's dying days, my son saying goodbye, and my mother's disappointment in me. No. I don't think that was your mother's disappointment in you, sweetheart. I think that that was a manifestation of your guilt, and based on some of the things that I know are in your house, it could have had just a much stronger energy. But I don't think that had actually anything to do with your mother. I think it took the form of your mother to try and hurt you. But I very much believe that your mother was proud of you and loved you, like she said the 3 days before she passed. I do not think that that was your mom. And I need you to understand that, because that is upsetting. And that's just my intuition on it. I feel like it needs to be said. So thank you for sharing these stories. They are deeply creepy, deeply personal, and goodness, I want to give you a hug. Yeah, I got nothing. That was a roller coaster of bittersweet and horror. I'm going to say it again before I close it. I don't believe that was your mother. I think that was something else, be it your own internal guilt, which I understand and do not fault you for, taking a very scary form. Or it was a mixture of that and some of the things in and around other places in your life. So that is our listener story for the week from Ariana. So as I mentioned at the top of the episode, our witchy tip this week is going to be a card draw from a new deck that I received as a gift for Christmas. And I have not yet learned how to fully utilize this deck, but I am learning. I am reading and researching and learning the specific draws that it has for this unique deck. Also seeing what other spreads it may work in that I already know. But this book that comes with it is very thick, and it is full of a lot of wonderful information about the inspirations and the art and the work that went in to make this deck. And what this deck is the Starman Tarot. Starman Tarot, I want to make sure I say all of these names right. by David DeAngelis and Esther DeAngelis. They actually spoke with David Bowie and took a lot of great inspiration from those conversations to do the art for the Starman Tarot. And David Bowie's all up in this, and it is so beautiful. If you've never seen it, definitely Google it. It's a little out there, but it is one of my new dedicated tools, and I am just barely scratching the surface of it right now. So I'm trying to do like single draws or the triple draw to just sort of get used to it and learn as I go and become familiar with it. So today, the card that we have drawn for this weekend and upcoming week, I have not read. This is a new one that I have seen before, but the imagery is of a beautiful woman who looks like she's either asleep or meditating, and she is in bondage in a sarcophagus with some swords keeping her in place and a smaller version of herself beneath, but the smaller version is blindfolded. And there are a bunch of swords and ravens, and it is the Eight of Swords. And I'm going to read what the author intended for this deck, particularly for the Eight of Swords. This sword card is double-edged. The edge of restriction on one side unleashes phenomenal power, and on the other side it is about feeling powerless in yourself and situation, feeling that there are no possibilities. This feeling can be all-consuming. We are utterly bound and devoid of hope and unable to choose. We fall victim to whatever or whoever is imposing restriction. As with all the cards in the tarot, the crux is the viewpoint, and most importantly, our capacity to act as a result of what's revealed. Feeling trapped by situations and circumstances can force something important to shift. The discomfort becomes so intense, the pressure so great, that transformation must happen. When we take away all options except complete fulfillment, then something within us is powerfully directed towards that objective. The more loose and free we are, the less focused strength we have to shape our reality. There is something that I have constantly explored in graphic design, art, and life in general. Although the Starman Tarot appears to contain an extraordinary amount of ideas and artistic elements, I in fact imposed tremendous restrictions on myself throughout the entire creative process. Having utterly extraordinary creative technologies and countless references will not create something which truly touches people unless those resources are channeled through the small discerning aperture of a great idea. The idea must create the pressure. The entry point is minuscule. It strips everything back until the art and designs are lean and strong. If you apply this discipline to every area of your life, you will discover that not only do you start to see amazing results, but you will also notice how much easier life gets. It sounds paradoxical at first, making life harder then makes it easier. So I think that is applicable to many of us in our everyday lives, and I'm sure hearing it, you can absolutely probably find a place or many places that it is applicable in your life. I think it is very good advice. I say as if I'm not the one pulling the tarot cards, but it is not my advice. It is the advice from the deck, from the universe, from the artist, etc. And I think a lot of us have been sort of feeling the constraints of late. This is fun times for pandemic 2020. It's not a pandemic yet, I know. I play the little computer game Pandemic, so that's the first thing that always pops into my head. But if we are focused, if we place restrictions upon ourselves, just enough pressure to keep that focus sharp, we have great power within that. And I think that is the overview that we should take away from this for this week. So try to focus, try to be disciplined, try to place those limited restrictions on yourself in order to better hone yourself, better hone that energy in whatever you are endeavoring to do, and see what perhaps comes of it. See what greatness you can achieve from those ideas and those restrictions even. Making life harder to make it easier. Sounds crazy, yes, But I will say that in the times in my life that that has applied, I can see it. I can agree with it. And I personally am going to thank the cards and take that advice myself this week. So that's our witchy tip. If you guys have a story that you would like to share with the podcast, as always, please send it to thatspookylifepodcast@gmail.com. If this is the first episode that you are joining us, thank you for joining us. I'm glad that you're here and can't wait to see what you think of prior episodes and what we do here. We have a good, spooky, scary, sometimes heartwarming, sometimes terrifying time talking about the crazier stuff of the life in between. You can also follow me on Instagram if you would like. If you have questions, I do want to do viewer questions again in the future. We have one episode of that right now, and I would be happy to answer you guys' questions in another episode. So you can submit those through Instagram or send them to the email address as well. And until next week, thank you for listening. I hope that you have a wonderful week. Stay safe, stay well, and until then, keep living that spooky life. Bye.